All right, greetings everyone, and thank you for joining us. Hope you can hear me okay and see me. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's great to be with you on the first Thursday of March 2022. So I'll go ahead and get started. This is Dr. Will Tuttle. This is our World Peace Satsang Meditation for the first Thursday, and we're focused here on connecting with each other and with the field of truth that surrounds our world, the field of compassion and kindness and awareness that we can all plug into and be part of. So it's an honor to be with everyone, and thanks again for joining us. We are in St. Petersburg Beach, Florida. And I'm going to just ask for feedback about the sound and video. Is it okay, Lisa? Everything good? Yeah, okay. Great. So, again, much love to all of you. Thanks for joining us. And I think we can go ahead and get started. We try to more or less start on time here. And it's just about that time. So it's been a busy day for us. We traveled up here to St. Petersburg, where we'll be giving a lecture tomorrow evening. And we're staying with some friends who are helping to organize that. And we met them at Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach about a month ago. So it's a lot of sun. What is it? The four S's: sun, surf, sand, and sea, I guess. Something like that. We've been immersed in here. All right. So I'll go ahead and invite everyone now as we begin our time of meditation. Feel free to either leave your screens, videos on if you'd like for us to see you. I'll leave mine on. Some people like to turn the video off as we move into our time of meditation. And then after the meditation, we'll have a chance to share some ideas. Now, this runs about an hour at the most. We try to keep it to an hour or less. And the whole idea is to focus on the deeper truths that can help us to heal our world and our own relationships with each other and with ourselves and with the source of all life. So, okay, we'll go ahead and get started then. And I want to just start by inviting all of us to take a moment and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to be together here on this Thursday evening in early March 2022. So many, what's the word? So many tumultuous changes are happening in the world. It seems like foundation shaking changes in some ways, perhaps, of the civilization that we're born into. So I want to congratulate everyone, all of you, for being born at this time and during this time to actually be able to refine your consciousness enough to be able to discriminate the unreal from the real, the false from the true, and the pathway that is beckoning to a more positive future. This is really not an easy thing to negotiate nowadays. So thank you to all of you for not only being born at this time, but also being able to be part of the solutions to the problems and going to a deeper level to understand the actual driving forces behind our inability to live in harmony and how we can contribute to the healing of our planet. I think there's no gift greater than this that we can give to ourselves, to each other, to future generations, to animals. So we come together, first of all, to give thanks for this precious human life, this precious opportunity that we have to be part of the healing of the world at this time, And we give thanks also for each other and for everyone, all the human beings who are working so hard in many different ways to help heal the rifts and divisions, not only between us, but also the divisions between our daily consciousness and the deep wisdom that is always available and which in many ways we're taught to ignore. And I don't want to only limit the gratitude to human beings. I'd like to also give gratitude to all of the animals who are in their way helping to heal the rifts and the divisions and are also speaking out and speaking up and communicating and expressing themselves and being an example of another way of living that we can learn from them as well. And give thanks also for the future generations who are in some ways perhaps looking at what we're doing, as well as those who have gone before us and who have helped lay the foundation in many ways of wisdom that we can draw strength from. So we give thanks to our ancestors. We give thanks to the future generations. May we be worthy of our place in this unfoldment of life, this massive unfoldment of life on this beautiful earth. So besides giving thanks, we also take a moment now to celebrate the beauty that we see in each other's faces, the beauty that we see in the animals around us, in the birds and in the companion animals perhaps that we see, and in other animals and insects and all the animals around us that perhaps we are able to come in contact with or that we have come in contact with, and the celebration of life here. So we give thanks and we celebrate this life around us and the beauty of this earth, the beauty of the oceans and rivers, the mountains, the beauty of the grasslands, of all the islands and of the Arctic regions and the deserts. There's so much beauty everywhere. When we look in the fine details of the veins and the leaves and the little feathers on the backs of the birds, and when we look back and we see the massive river systems and oceans and on every level, we see the earth spinning in space. There's tremendous beauty and order and the luminosity and intelligence that is absolutely flooding all of creation. And we are part of that. So we take a moment now to give thanks for our realization that we are part of a benevolent unfolding on this earth and in the universe, and that what we are essentially is not merely a material physical manifestation of life. What we are is the very source of this experience that we're having. So we breathe into this. It's very important as our spiritual path unfolds and matures. We learn more about the importance of the food that we're eating, the importance of the thoughts that we're thinking, the importance of the feelings that are arising in us, and especially the importance of the breath and the way we're breathing. Let's just consciously breathe together. It's a wonderful word, of course, this word that we hear so much today. Are you a conspiracy person? Because we know the word con means with, and spear, S-P-I-R, is the root spirit, means breath. So conspiracy merely means to breathe together. So we're in a conspiracy here. We're creating our own conspiracy. It's conspiracy of vegan liberation for all beings. Let's breathe together slowly and mindfully. Let's do that. Let's just really breathe together. A good rhythm for breathing, to be peaceful in daily life, is to breathe about 6 breaths per minute. So that's basically 10 seconds per breath. So that's 5 seconds on the inhale and 5 seconds on the exhale. So let's just do that together. Breathe together. I'll go ahead and count it out. So inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's just do that now silently a little bit. Just breathing together. 5 second inhale and a 5 second exhale. Just a nice, even, smooth breath. And with every breath, just relaxing into our conspiracy, our breathing together, breathing in peace and harmony. Exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. So we just establish a rhythm in our breath, knowing that every breath nurtures and nourishes trillions of cells in our body, bringing nutrients and removing toxins. This absolutely magical alchemical process that keeps us alive and fulfilling the purpose for which we've been born. So as we breathe in a sense of joy and freedom. And with every exhalation, we exhale a sense of gratitude and peace. Inhaling joy and freedom. Exhaling relaxation and peace and harmony. And knowing that every cell of our being is fed not only by the physical healing powers of oxygen and all of the material forces, but also we're breathing in the energy of love from the universe, of support, that our birth is supported by the infinite loving source of all life in this universe. That every cell in our body, every hair on our head, every organ and system in the physical body are loved and supported because they are the vehicle for the being that we are, the infinite and eternal being. So we just take a moment to feel and acknowledge this support from the vibrant, eternal life source of the universe. That we have a purpose for this life. And that every day, our wisdom is guiding us. Every step of the way, to deepen our connection with our inner purpose. That this lifetime is a magnificent life, where we unfold the full spectrum of the potential that we are, of the creativity and beauty and the contributions
and the awakenings and healings that we are here to help deliver, not just to ourselves and our loved ones, but into the whole infinite web of relations. That every time we heal and awaken a dimension of our own consciousness, we're also helping others to do the same thing. That as we evolve the being that we are given tools and resources to help make us more effective in our advocacy efforts for liberation and for kindness and love and joy and freedom for all expressions of life. So breathing from the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, and contributing back to the atmosphere of the earth, breathing out carbon dioxide, which is the great gift that allows all of the beautiful plants of the earth to grow, giving them carbon. And as we inhale, the oxygen that the plants exhale, we are dancing with them. We are feeding on each other with every breath. And then through the physical food that we're eating, we're also dancing with them as we eat the leaves and fruits and seeds of these plants. And they nurture our bodies, and then we eliminate them and they go back into the soil and feed the plants again. And as we breathe and eat, as we drink, it all goes back into the great circle of life. So we're part of this circle. And the circle of life does not require us to be harmful. It encourages us to be conscious and kind, to be tender and caring in our relationships with all expressions of life. To be aware of the consequences of our actions and to celebrate the consequences of our actions. That every thought, word, and deed can radiate out into the infinite web of relations, bringing more joy and freedom and health. That each one of us is a radiating center of harmony and vibrant freedom and joy and awareness and creative zest for living. We know that as we breathe freely, that the breath that goes out of our nostrils is filled with the energy of liberation and joy, that everyone who breathes in our breath is blessed, is healed, is filled with encouragement and gratitude and connects with their own inner wisdom. That we're breathing together. This is the great benevolent conspiracy of love, compassion, joy, and peace. That we are part of this conspiracy always. That we were born for this. This is our purpose. To contribute our unique gifts into this great conspiracy, the great awakening and healing, healing from the delusion of lack and limitation and of domination and exploitation of other beings, to liberate animals from enslavement at human hands. And so now we see our vegan movement as a radiating center of light that is rising up stronger and stronger, is overcoming all efforts to fragment and to divide, that all of us in this movement for the liberation of humanity and of animals and of ecosystems and of the relationships that we have with each other and with all life, that this movement of awakening and healing is based on ahimsa. It's based on the great fundamental truth of nonviolence. It's based on the golden rule that whatever we sow, we reap, and that we yearn to give to others what we would like to have for ourselves, to give love, kindness, and freedom and joy through every dimension of our life. So this is the foundation of the vegan movement. It's a movement that's based on the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all expressions of life. And we know that this movement is ultimately unstoppable, that every day it is growing more and more vibrant and wise, and that we're overcoming all obstacles, and that each one of us in our own unique way is a movement of liberation in this society. Each one of us is creating a movement of healing and awakening in our own unique way, and that we are guided every day to connect with others with whom we can work and cooperate and conspire, breathe together. So we breathe together, count of five breaths in, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. Easy and relaxed, and knowing at a deeper level that even though there is so much to do, there are so many obstacles to be overcome, there is such a tremendously challenging adventure facing us in this great effort to veganize planet Earth, that at the same time, it's already done. It's already complete. There's really nothing that needs to be done. Because ultimately, there's only one power, and it is living through all of us as love and freedom. So in many ways, what we see is real and also unreal. So we just learn to see the reality and celebrate the reality and draw forth the highest from our brothers and sisters and from everyone. We see the best. We see the truth. We see the light that shines in the heart of all living beings. And we say namaste. We say, I behold the light that is your true nature in everyone that we meet. So we see now the truth that the earth is in harmony and in peace, that the reports of violence and war are certainly true on their level, and the reports of the suffering of animals. And we look with a deeper vision and we see the spiritual reality. We hold in our hearts that truth also, that love is always triumphant. Light is ultimately victorious over all darkness. So we send our blessings out into our world. May all beings awaken to the truth of the joy that we can share together when we realize our true nature, when we realize that we are not here to compete or to instrumentalize each other, but to respect and have a joyous celebration and to accomplish the transformation of the old illusions. This is the great quest. It's a path that we walk together, and the destination is assured, the victory is assured, as we just continue to make one step after another, and keep showing up. Just continue to show up every day with making the best effort possible, and knowing that our own mind and our own heart and this physical body, these vehicles are perfect. However they are, they're perfect. They're exactly appropriate right now. So we send love to our body and to our mind and to the whole body of all of our affairs, the whole thing. We send love and appreciation. This is the outer manifestation of the being that we are. And now we just take a moment to connect to the deeper level with the source of all of this. And the great joy of the witness watching the being as we go through our life, doing our best, knowing that we are loved, that every effort is precious, and no effort is ever lost. So we abide now in the sense of unity with the source of our life and with all expressions of life, that whatever the outer appearance, it's always for a greater good. Ultimately, for a greater good. We give thanks especially for the animals of this earth, trapped in prisons made by the actions of humans and the actions perhaps of other beings. We send our love and appreciation to all of them, that each and every animal who has suffered at human hands in a agricultural operation or in a laboratory or in any kind of other facility for entertainment or for other products, we recognize you, we love you, we embrace you. We appreciate you. We ask for your forgiveness. And we salute you. And we do our best to bring healing and liberation so that the underlying wounds will be healed. So that the pressure to continue the killing will be released and stopped, that we will abide as human beings in the awareness that no animal needs to die that we may live, that no one needs to suffer unnecessarily for our lives to be lived, that we can co-create a world of kindness when we connect with our true nature. So we love our mind, and we love especially the capacity that we have to listen to the sound of the wind and the leaves, the sound of the bird calls and the sounds of the children and the old people talking, into our own heart loyally beating, reliable and filled with love for us and for our life. And so in listening, begin to bring our meditation to a close. Listening to whatever ambiance is around us right now. Listening to our breathing, the great connection that we have with our mind and with the earth and with the universe, our ongoing breath. Feeling our body connected to the earth, this beautiful planet which supports us, we give thanks. Feeling our body connected to the infinite cosmos. Every cell in our being came from the stars. And feeling our awareness of the consciousness, which is the source of all material appearances, soaring above and embracing every dimension of our life. That we may, when we leave this body, do so in a celebratory manner, that we came and we lived our life authentically, that we did our best to shine the light of truth and freedom into the world for the benefit of all beings. And so now we give thanks for this time we've had together. We give thanks knowing that we are part of the awakening of human consciousness at this time on planet Earth to create a world that honors all expressions of life, to work together to build this world and to do the inner work that we may be the best participant in the party. We love this word party because it comes from participate. And as we participate in the great unfoldment of life, we're part of the party. We're part and parcel of the party of participation, doing our part to heal the divisions, to part the waters of delusion. So, every day is precious. Every moment is the precious opportunity to awaken out of delusion. So we give thanks finally, knowing that as each one of us, as we go forth into our lives, that our mind and heart will be unified and that we will be drinking of the fountain of the nectar of wisdom of Sophia, the great feminine wisdom that knows to love and nurture life, that will be breathing the sacred spirit of truth and freedom, that will be holding our heads erect, not bowing to any tyrants or to any absurdities, speaking our truth with love and honesty, and holding all living beings in our hearts with appreciation and understanding, knowing that everyone is wounded. We're all on the path of healing together, and that ultimately we are whole and free. We give thanks knowing this is so, in the heart of the infinite life shining all about us when we open our eyes. And so it is. All right, everyone. Thank you for participating in our meditation time. And I'm very grateful to each and every one of you for being the beacon of light that you are. So what are the themes of this week? Let me see. Oh my gosh, I just realized my computer. Let's see here. I think, I just go, well, okay. The reason I just said that, suddenly my low battery light came on my computer. So, my battery is a little low. I'll go ahead and, speak for a few more minutes. I'm not sure how long it'll last. It's in the other room, my battery, my charger. Maybe what I'd like to do is, Lisa, are you there? You're here?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, could you, maybe, just facilitate a short friendly conversation for like 1 minute
sure.
while I go and get my plug. Oh,
sure.
Look at this. We got a plug coming.
Okay, good. Madeline hurt you.
No, that's right. Actually, our my good friend Ryan here, we're staying with them. So actually,
perfect.
Everything is good. Perfect. All right. So thank you, Ryan. My computer's breathing much more happily right now. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Ryan. Okay, so yeah, so what I was started to say is there's so much happening, as you all know right now, in terms of the narratives in our society, and there seems to be a lot of increasing, I guess, in some ways, expectations of difficulties and turbulence and war, possibly conflict. But there also seems to be more healing happening of certain things. It seems like the fear of the viruses and all of that is abating, at least for now. So we're in quite a time it seems like on the outer level, a battle, a spiritual battle perhaps between the forces of domination and exploitation, and the basic forces of kindness and cooperation. And it's really very inspiring, actually, I have to say, to me, to see so many fellow human beings rising up and speaking up and being a voice for those who don't have a voice, and being a voice for children, for future generations. There's a lot of political unrest, a lot of injustice and inequality in the outer world. And the point I think that keeps, I think, emerging, at least in my mind, and I think probably among a lot of us, is that as long as we human beings are going to continue to exploit animals routinely and relentlessly, and as if it's our sovereign right to do so, then we're going to be saddled with the same kind of tyranny and disease and problems that we inflict on the animals. So the whole question becomes one of both inner and outer work, and how to do the inner work and how to, and the outer work, and what's the best way to do that. And to realize that we don't always agree with each other about the best way to do these things, and to find our way to bring peace into our relationships with each other and with ourselves and all around. And I have to say, one of the things that's been coming up for me quite a bit lately is just this, the awareness that almost every official story about almost anything is probably wrong. It's probably not really accurate. And so much of it is we've accepted because just part of growing up in this society, a lot of it, especially about health, about what causes us to be sick or, you know, these things, or what makes governance, you know, what governments are all about. What are, you know, there's so much. And we're reading right now at night, Natalie and I, some of Chuang Tzu. You've heard of Chuang Tzu. He was a great Taoist writer about 2,500 years ago. And it's so great to see how 2,500 years ago, people were in China were contemplating things. And in some ways, they seem like they're so far ahead of us. You know, they're like, they're way ahead of us in figuring out what really matters. And these ideas that we have about health, for example, like yesterday we read one where these two people were talking and they were good friends. They were always good friends. And then at one point, one of the friends was afflicted with all kinds of terrible disease, you know, and he said, oh gosh, you know, now he was kind of joking about it. He said, now my head is down below my knees and my hips are turned inside out and my back looks like a corkscrew and, you know, all these things. He said, and then he says, I guess that's what the creator, I can't remember how he said it, the gods, that's what they think is a good idea. So I guess it must be okay. They can do whatever they want to my body. My mind is still perfectly happy. You know, it was like, it was such a interesting way that it was put, that whatever happens in the outer world, that it's possible for our consciousness to stay clear and with a sense of humor and with a sense of gratitude and a sense of clarity and awareness. Because that's what we're going to be bringing with us. When we leave this body, we don't bring anything except the quality of our consciousness. And that's one thing we can count on. We are definitely all going to leave this body. And it could be any time. So it's such a great example to see how when Gandhi was traveling around India and he was giving talks and so forth, and all of a sudden somebody shot him and he died virtually instantly. And people who were close to him, he just said, Ram. And then he left, you know. So he, you know, just in that instant, you know, the divine name was right in his mind all the time. So he, you know, that sense of just being all the time with the awareness that I'm here to serve the divine plan, whatever, however we see that, and that consciousness is always present so that we're not lost in the delusions that are being spun by those who would like to control our minds. And I think it's really important to see that that's the real battle. It's interesting, you know, that term info wars, you've probably heard that info, you know, the war is really about information. It really is. I mean, it's about narratives and information and what's real, what is actually real. So I think the more, I just find it very helpful to look at ancient texts. It's so funny because we think that people living 2,500 years ago, they couldn't possibly be happy. They didn't have a refrigerator. Like, for God's sake, how can they be happy? You know, they didn't have a car. They couldn't travel. They didn't have central air conditioning, for goodness sakes. I mean, they didn't have all these things that we think are absolutely necessary to be comfortable and happy. And yet, there they are, it seems like, probably just as happy, maybe a lot more. So with time, perhaps. So I think, you know, sometimes looking at these ancient texts, and we've done that on our first Thursdays, I spent quite a bit of time in the earlier, like last year, reading from the Dhammapada, which comes from about the same time. Karl Jaspers called it the Axial Age. About 500 BC, we had all these religions being founded. It seemed like there was a huge flowering of spiritual consciousness on planet Earth, and Taoism and Buddhism and the ancient Old Testament prophets and the ancient Greek philosophers and Jainism, and, you know, all over the world there were these powerful spiritual awakening teachings happening. And we can still, I think, learn a lot from them. So I'm wondering, we have about 10 minutes here, I'm just noticing, before we depart. I'm a little bit hesitant to just dive into, I have it right here, my Dhammapada. I can read it and kind of give an analysis like I've done in other weeks, but we haven't done it for a few weeks. And I was just thinking it might be nice to just, just open it up, see if anyone has anything that you would like to specifically draw our attention to or have me respond to in some way, if there is anything like that, because this is a precious time, you know, that we have one time a month. And the underlying idea for me is to just create a space where we can focus on the deeper truths that so often get buried and lost in our busy lives when there's so much to try to learn and incorporate. And the truth of veganism and of health freedom. I think these are really important, you know, freedom to live our lives, to have sovereignty and to give sovereignty to others, to animals as well. And this is what we're seeing. These are the big battles, the battle between sort of the individual expression of life and the collective. How do we live together, right? That's the thing. And is that tension going to always be there, or can there be a way of living that fulfills both and makes both more and more beautiful? And how does that actually happen? So I see there's Trish, you have your hand up, and I'm happy to, you're unmuted, so go ahead.
So like you were just mentioning, for instance, 2,500 years ago, it seemed to be such an enlightened society. And so what always comes to mind for me is, what happened? You know? Like, what happened because the society is not that it has not become even more enlightened? You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't either continued on or grown that much more as a movement. We've gone backwards or not moved at all. So what happened? What happened with all those great teachers?
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you. You know, and I think, I appreciate you bringing that up, because, that's something that we really have to look at. I think that's, you're right. I mean, what did happen? What has happened? I think that's one of the reasons I felt called to write the World Peace Diet, was to try to explain what happened. And, I do think a lot of it has to do with the, you know, I don't want to answer the question, because I think living in the question is the best thing, but I'll just maybe say one thing that might be relevant, which is, just the massive increase in the tyranny of animals. I mean, animals went from being freely living to being somewhat dominated to being now pretty much, you know, millions and millions, billions of animals, trillions actually every year are killed by humans, enslaved.
But did that happen like shortly after, let's say 2000? Or, you know what I mean? Like, we've got the 2500 as a kind of a marker. And then what transpired in the world at that time? What, I don't, I don't know what happened at that time. That all of that, it just kept getting worse and worse and has become more factory farming, more intense, everything more destructive, more tragic. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, I don't want to, you know, there's something about living in a question, and it's a little bit dangerous for someone to come along and say, well, I'm the expert, I'll answer the question, and you don't have to think about that anymore. Because I think, you know, what did happen? What has happened? What were the forces? You know, already, I mean, animal agriculture started around 10,000 years ago. So it was gradually, you know, building momentum, and wars and domination and exploitation were happening. And then about 2,500 years ago, we saw this flowering of consciousness where people really questioned it. And that's really what Buddha, for example, Buddha in India, one of his main things was questioning the Vedic slaughter of animals. And the same thing with the Jains, and the same thing with the Old Testament prophets, and same thing with Plato, Socrates, and so forth. They were really questioning animal agriculture. That was one of the things, I think, that kind of set them apart, and it was a major part of their teaching, all of them. And then, of course, that flowering, it was everything gets co-opted, unfortunately, I think. Wait.
Let's okay. See. Yeah. So maybe greed kind of won out temporarily and it started to grow maybe, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, no, I think what happened, what's happened in, I just suddenly got this thing that my audio settings have changed. No, it's still good. I think the situation, we've seen this happen before. I mean, I don't know if this is a proper thing to make, but I write about it in the World Peace Diet how, for example, Jesus, very clear when you read the early, people who spoke about the early Christians, they always said they were vegetarians. They didn't eat meat. Everybody knew that. And then, within a few hundred years, that was brutally suppressed, and anyone who was a Christian who didn't eat meat was suspect and very often imprisoned or killed because they went a completely opposite way. And we see that in quite a few traditions. So the herding culture, which is based on the domination and exploitation of animals, especially female animals, it had gotten really strong. It got stronger and stronger. And you know, what forces are actually, you know, kept that going? And I mean, that's a really deep question. I think, to know that there's, a lot of, you know, I think if you look at the currents that came through the centuries, there were very benevolent ones, but there were also ones that were more, I guess you'd say, demonic or satanic or abusive, warlike, violent. And as little kids, we're born and we just are like a little sponge. We soak it up. So if we're born into a society that's more violent, patriarchal, and dominating, we become like that. I mean, that's just, you know, our parents, we can't help it. So there's been this, I think, continual, every generation has been trying to bring in light. We see it in, you know, we see it all the time. People, I was a child of the 60s, right? So for me, the hippie movement was in many ways really a lot of light coming in at that time. And what happened? You could say the same thing. Well, what happened? How did we get here? That was just a few decades ago. And, you know, you can see there's powers that co-opt and manipulate, and we have to be more vigilant and do our best. But thank you, Trish. I know there's a couple other hands up. Maybe people want to have something to contribute, and we are getting close to our time to end, unfortunately. But that's a beautiful question to live in. I think just live in that question. That's a great one. On both levels, on both the historical level and also on the eternal level of what it is, like when we have an awakening ourselves, and then what happens when it kind of gets lost in our in the busyness of our lives, and we lose it in a sense. That can happen, at least for a while. Suzanne, did you have something like? Or Truman, I'm not sure.
Yeah, actually Truman was first.
Oh, Truman, yeah, go ahead, sorry, yeah. Truman.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. Thank you, Will. Thank you, your lovely word. My question is just since you mentioned the war, and when I see it, and I heard a lot of the pain and suffering, and I really and seeing the leader the threatening the people with a nuclear power, want to destroy the war, really treat a lot of the people's fear of human annihilation, and that really really hurting me. I just feel a lot of pain. I doing sending my love, my I would say my power, try to heal it. And but the things from the history, the things happen again, and I just don't know how I can really bring the people to let the people know the wisdom, to let them see it. There's all the violence, all the depression, oppression, it's all come from the food, their conscious, they are conscious of enjoying the food and conscious of not hurting the others. I really don't know how to make them aware about it. Yeah, so I ask your wisdom to see your insight about it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Truman. Yes, it is. It's very painful. You're right. It's excruciating to see the suffering that we inflict on each other. And the root, and you know, it's the Indian teaching and the Chinese, the ancient wisdom of Asia and actually of the West as well. Karma, right? What we sow, we reap. And all of these things have deep roots that go back and back and back. And all the great spiritual teachers have said the same thing. Sorry. Find our way of living the truth that we're not at war. So I think it's important to answer your question, just to look at a bigger picture, to just see that, yes, this is happening on this planet right now, but there's a much bigger picture. And our lives, in the bigger picture, we have many lives. I think that's something that's important to understand. And so to live our life giving and doing the best we can to make peace and bring wisdom. And food is a big part of it. Our treatment of animals, of course, is huge. The way we relate to each other and how we can awaken to the love and live that. But the thing is, we never can bring peace if we're angry or if we're motivated by fear. You know, ultimately, it just that doesn't help. So somehow to try to hold everyone in love, to understand that whatever is motivating this, there's deep roots, and there may be a deeper healing going on that we're not aware of. You know, war is always hell. I mean, that's what Billy Sherman said, back in the Civil War. It's terrible. And it's terrible for animals. It's terrible for us. And now we have nuclear, right? Now we have nuclear weapons. Now we have the possibility for the destruction of planet Earth. I mean, that's what happens when animal agriculture goes unchecked for 10,000 years, right? We're at the brink of the annihilation of everything. So now it's really important for the vegan message of ahimsa to get out there. I mean, this is the most important, and we are the ones, I mean, those of us who understand this, to do our best to bring this, because we can really see it. We could at any moment see incredible destruction unleashed for no, just because of our folly. Yeah. Okay, Suzanne, thank you, though. Thank you very much. And Suzanne?
Yeah, thanks, Will. I realize we're probably wrapping up any minute, right. But I really appreciated Trish's question. And I felt wondered for a long time. So 2,500 years ago, there was all this thought and, you know, great teachers and all that. And then I've wondered if with Jesus, I think, was probably a great guy. But what they did after Jesus and created this, the obedience and all this stuff with the church, like, it really seems like that's an interesting timing there, because a mere 500 years later, we've got this whole new thing that I'm not sure has really given a lot to the world. I think Jesus was great, but what happened after? So I really wonder how much the church has played in this whole last couple thousand years. So.
Oh, yeah, that's another great question. There's some great research we can do on that. And the way the message was kind of perverted and taken to a whole new direction, and the power, the corruption, right? I mean, right, that's true. That always happens. It happens even in somewhat in other religions too, but I think especially in the Christian religion, you can see it very strongly. So it's a continual effort to keep the teaching pure and not let it be corrupted. Now we do have to wrap it up. Lisa, is your hand up? Would you like to say something? Thank you, Suzanne. That's a great question.
Yeah, I'll make it really quick. I was in another a spiritual class this morning, and the idea that brought to me was that we have all these war and violence and all the negative things in the world, perhaps is really for us to see by contrast what, to learn what love means, what the good means. So like if you have the duality, you see the bad and you know you appreciate the good, the love that we are really are. And if the idea of the white room effect, if we are white and we're in this white room and everything is white, then we can't really appreciate our whiteness, and we need something that's non-white.
And thank you.
So
right.
I think to bring back to, you know, Dr. Tuttle, you always remind us that, you know, everything we're in the world, everything is at the end on the spiritual side is for our evolution, is for the good. And it's hard to see, yeah, all these bad things, how can it be good? But it is for our cultivation of compassion, that these things are there for us. I don't know. So that's what I got.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lisa. Yeah. This is the world of duality. And, it can, you know, the pain and suffering can hopefully motivate us to a certain type of heroism in the sense of, finding ways to bring love and awareness into our world to help contribute to that. And it's a tremendous opportunity. Each one of us has a life. We have a capacity. How do we respond? That's really, to me, that's the big question. How do I respond? How do we respond to what's happening in the world right now? And that's, I think, when we leave our body and we look back on our life, we'll think, how did I respond? And I think at that point we'll realize we don't have anything to be afraid of. You know, right now we are kind of trapped by the cultural program and narrative. So to try to get the big picture, remember who we are. We're far greater than just this one little expression. And what does that mean for us individually? How do we respond, and how can we discover our true nature? So, thank you. I know, you know, I'm very touched by all of you. I know there's so many of you on this call who could deliver beautiful teachings about these subjects, and I appreciate your attention and your sharing. And I'd like to go ahead and close our time, because we've gone over an hour, and really just to respect everybody's time, but to know that even when we close this, we're still in each other's hearts. We still have this same or similar aspiration for the healing of our world and for
connecting and being part of the solution to these problems that we see unfolding around us, and to build the foundation of a world where peace and freedom and justice are possible. Each one of us to do that in our daily lives and to work to do that together. So let's say our closing, our circle of compassion prayer that we say every day at noon, which you all know what it is. And feel free to unmute if you'd like, so we can all hear each other. It's a big cacophony, but it's a good one. All right, here we go. We'll say it three times. Compassion
encircles the earth
for all
beings
everywhere. Everywhere.
Compassion
circles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
Feeling
compassion encircles the earth for all
Everywhere.
So it is. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you so much, Will.
Bless you. Go forth and multiply the message.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Will. Good to see you, Madeline.
Great to see you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night, everybody.